Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you today in the name of your Son. We're so thankful that we have the privilege of prayer, and we do reach out to you. You've already been here in the world just as surely as we're all here, and you know all about life as we know it. Sometimes when we're going through hard times, we wonder if you know and understand, but you have already been here and walked the way before us. Thank you for showing us the way. We're concerned about the hardships and difficulties that many of our countrymen are going through. We pray that their hearts and minds will be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit through thousands of men and women that are reaching out to them in so many different ways. We know that many of them know and love you. We pray that through the tragedies, men and women and boys and girls will be turned to you. We know that life was not designed to be problem-free, but by turning to you, we can make it through. We pray for those in our church who are passing through difficult times. They need you at this very moment in their lives in very special ways. We don't need to try to hide things from you, but we can come just as we are. Look inside each one of us and see the things that are there in our hearts and minds. You can do something about problems and difficulties. And we acknowledge that often what you change is us and our reactions. And sometimes you change the situations. Thank you, Lord, for always being there, even when we're not really aware of your presence. We pray for those with physical problems. Some have been in the hospital this past week. Others are facing surgeries and treatments in the coming days, and they need the assurance of your divine presence. Encourage and uplift them, and may your grace be rich in their lives. We pray for all those who are celebrating birthdays and having anniversaries. Richly bless them. Birthdays are reminders of your gift of life, and anniversaries are reminders of your gift of companionship. In this new school year, we ask that you help students as they make adjustments to school, and for our college students, help them to adjust to dorm life and being away from home. We know that although there is excitement and there are new experiences, some are working through homesickness and new emotions. Make these great days for all of them. We pray for our church leaders. May they all be sensitive to your leadership and direction. We want to be the kind of church that you want us to be, and we want to give priority to those things that are close to your heart. Be with us during this hour of worship, for we pray all these things in the name of your Son. Amen.
The scripture today is James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or ships, as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a word of evil among us. The tongue is also a fire, a word of evil among the body parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water.
Thank you, Troy. Thank you, choir. It's beautiful, as always. In our scripture reading today, I want us to look at the word duality. Have you ever noticed there is a duality in human beings? Now, I'm not talking about bipolar. That's a different thing. But let's say, for example, as James points out, we can speak very Christian and very non-Christian from the same mouth. And sometimes we don't even have to speak, but our actions are opposite of our words, or vice versa. I read about a stay-at-home mom who went to a PTA meeting one night. While she was gone, her husband and oldest daughter decided they would clean the kitchen for mom and surprise her when she got home. Well, they washed all the dishes, put away the pots and pans, cleaned the stove and countertops. The kitchen was spotless. Later that night, mom came home from the meeting. She walked in the kitchen and fixed herself something to drink, then went into the den to watch TV with her family. But she never said a word about the kitchen being cleaned. Finally, her husband said, "Honey, did you notice the clean kitchen?" "I did," she said. "Well, you're not going to say thank you or anything?" She said, "Why should I? It's a thankless job, isn't it?" Apparently, the husband and oldest daughter never said a word of thanks or praise for the hard work of the mom in keeping the kitchen clean. Perhaps they never thanked her for anything she did to keep a clean home. The husband and oldest daughter's work spoke volumes, yet they never articulated their gratitude in words. James tells us that as Christians, we are very much like that. Yet, he is specific to our use of words. Why? Because words can be a world of evil, he says. Finding one of her students making faces at others on the playground, Miss Smith stopped to gently reprove the child. Smiling sweetly, the Sunday school teacher said, "Bobby, when I was a child, I was told that if I made ugly faces, it would freeze and I would stay like that." Bobby looked up and replied, "Well, Miss Smith, you can't say you weren't warned." Bobby's words were spoken innocently, yet many Christians use similar words that are not spoken so innocently. Have you known someone who smiles at you and tells you how happy they are to see you? Then you find out they went to someone else and said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe I ran into that person. I can't stand them." Or have you heard someone say, "Watch her. She will smile to your face while she's putting the knife in your back." Maybe people are like that because they are afraid of the truth. Maybe they don't like confrontation, so they misrepresent their true feelings. Whatever the reason, it is painful to find that someone, especially a person you think is a friend or a Christian brother or sister, could be so deceitful and dishonest. Maybe the people who do such things just don't understand the whole communication thing. For example, Sam shows up at a revival meeting seeking help. "I need you to pray for my hearing," he tells the preacher. The preacher puts his fingers on Sam's ears and prays and prays. When he's done, he asks, "How's your hearing now?" "I don't know," says Sam. "I don't go to court till next Tuesday." You see, it's just a simple misunderstanding. Maybe they don't understand that they need to be honest. Maybe they don't understand that if they tell you that you're not one of their favorite people, that that's better than not telling you and telling someone else. Maybe there are times when people think that they're looking out for you when they're really looking out for themselves. Whatever the case, James is very clear to us that there is a duality and that oftentimes we who teach, and keep in mind, parents, you're a teacher, we'll say something, but then we say something else, and the messages get confused. Maybe it's just a case of not seeing the signs of what's going on around us. You know, things are happening, and you think you know what's going on, but you really don't. So, you step in the middle of something. You ever done that, Judge? Just stepped in the middle? Not in front of his wife. Nope, never happened. Have you ever misread a situation, thought you knew what was happening, only to find that you didn't have a clue? A pastor made a call on one of his members. She was one of his older members and at times was unable to come to church. Well, makes you wonder. Pastor went to her house. He knocked on the door, and she greeted him at the door and invited him in. "Pastor," she said, "have a seat here on the couch. I have some things on the stove, so please forgive me while I take care of them." She was gone for some time, and the pastor noticed a bowl of nuts on the coffee table and began to eat them. When the lady returned, she sat and said, "Now we can visit." The pastor said, "First, let me apologize. I got carried away and ate all of the nuts you had in the bowl." With a smile on her face, she said, "Oh, please don't worry about it. I've already sucked all the chocolate off of them." Words are like that. Sometimes we suck all the chocolate off of them, and therefore there is nothing sweet to cushion what we say. Now that's what one might call getting blindsided, right? Things aren't always what they seem. Things aren't always what we think they are. James says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness." Keep that phrase in mind. Who have been made in God's likeness. What does that make you think of? Racism, perhaps? You know, human beings who have been made in God's likeness, but they're different, so we don't like them. It's God's likeness. Or maybe you think different cultures. Like in today's world, say, an Arab culture. Not the bad guys, but those who are in no way connected. Or maybe you think of different ideologies, say Democrat versus Republican ideologies. Or it could be that you think of different religions or faiths, like Jewish versus Christian, or Buddhist or Hindu. All of these people Are all of these human beings? Are they? Those who are made in God's likeness? I'd like to tell you a story that just happened recently when I was with my brother at Harris Methodist Hospital in Fort Worth. And most of you know about my sister-in-law, who, by the way, is still there and might get to go home November 1st. My brother's in-laws are nice people. They really are. They're nice people. However, some of them are quite prejudiced. For example, when I went to the hospital, I walked into the surgery waiting area where my brother, his wife's son-in-law, Bobby, daughter, Jennifer, and niece, Brooke, were sitting. In a waiting area next to them sat a man with what appeared to be a short turban, a tunic, and a necklace. Around him sat a family with an olive skin complexion. Each family member, as they entered the area, walked up to the man in the turban, extended their right hand, touched the man's fingers with theirs, then raised the right hand to their chest and bowed. No less than 8 family members entered and did this, men, women, and children. My brother said, "Bobby hates it that those ragheads are sitting next to us. He's about to explode." I couldn't help but smile. I said, "Is that right?" "Well, let me tell you something. That necklace around the man's neck has a Greek cross. He is a Greek Orthodox priest of the Christian faith." My brother was visibly embarrassed. He immediately turned to Bobby, who was watching a baseball game, and told him. Then Bobby appeared embarrassed. You see, sometimes we don't know what we think we know. And we're sitting there hating someone, and we don't even know who they are or what they represent. And Bobby was to the point that he wanted to go over and tell him to get out of the hospital, that he couldn't stand to be near him. And my friends, they were Christian. Different than what we are, the way we worship, maybe. But Christian nevertheless. I used to have a choir director in a church in Fort Worth, and his name was Roy. And whenever I saw him, I'd ask, "How is it going, Roy?" His response was always the same. He'd say, "God is still on the throne." He was almost always happy and on top of things when he'd say that. But one day, he became discouraged. And when I asked, "How is it going, Roy?" he replied, "Not too good, Pastor." I don't know why I said it, but without thinking, I just asked, "What happened, Roy? Did God step off the throne?" He smiled sheepishly at me, straightened up, and said, "No, Pastor, you're right. God is still on the throne." I would like to challenge you today. Should you meet someone in the coming weeks, months, or years that aren't really your type, say their philosophy of life, political leanings, faith choice, or culture is different from yours, remember, it does not change that they are made in God's likeness. And remember, God is still on the throne. Therefore, the rules apply. Human beings are made in His likeness, and they should be treated by us in a Christian manner. And James says, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Duality? For Christians, this should not be. We should be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you knowing that all too often we present two sides of ourselves. We'll profess our Christian faith, but then we will speak evil. We ask your forgiveness. We ask that you guide us and direct us and help us to understand that all of creation is yours and all human beings were made in your likeness. Be with us, guide us, strengthen us, and give us the courage to go forth in the faith that you have given us. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.